Let me say thanks to my friend Danny for taking last week's text, that ugly paragraph about the works of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, that list of sins. I appreciate him filling in at that uncomfortable moment in the texts of Galatians. In some ways, it's rather unfortunate because that is the one paragraph that I am an expert in. The rest of it, I'm learning. That one, I've pretty much got nailed, all that sin stuff. But I do appreciate that, Danny. Well done last week. Today, we get to shift into a more positive direction as we look at the other side of that coin, the deeds of the flesh, but then also what are called the fruit of the Spirit. And as with all things biblical, it's not an accident that the word comes to us as it does. It's not an accident that Paul used this analogy. As we're going to see, I think that there is much in this analogy of a fruit tree that helps us to understand what the fruit of the Spirit is, how it works when we are walking in the Spirit of God, when we're living by the Spirit of God, when we're led by the Spirit of God, which really is the overarching theme of these several weeks in chapter 5, about living, walking in the Spirit, as opposed to in the flesh on one hand, in sin, or on the other hand, in the law. That walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, offers a real alternative to both of those things, to being a legalist or being a callous sinner. You know, everybody likes things that are organic. I mean, it's a popular thing these days. I looked up the word. It has to do with naturally living things, things that develop naturally. We like that. Naturally, efficiently organized. And here's where I think we especially use it. Something produced without synthetic chemicals. If you go to the store and they have a section of organic vegetables or organic fruits, you know that those were grown in a slightly different way, in a more protected sort of way, fewer chemicals, and you also know that you're going to pay twice as much for them. And people do, because we like things that are organic. So I need to offer a disclaimer right off the bat that the fruit of the Spirit is not organic. But it's not less than organic. It's super organic. Which is really just another way of saying the fruit of the Spirit is supernatural. And as I've said, the analogy, though, of organic things, Jesus used a lot of organic examples, a lot of organic analogies. Sower, planting seeds, that sort of thing. This analogy of naturally growing fruit trees is helpful as we try to understand how certain characteristics are going to be seen in us as we are living by the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that today, as a result of your word coming to us, that you would speak into our hearts and minds not so much a word about characteristics that ought to be marking us, and why aren't they? But rather, Lord, a word that encourages us once again to seek after you, to seek to grow in our friendship with you, our relationship with you. An encouragement to know that fruit comes in that relationship. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, here's our text for today. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I have a few things that I want to say, and I've given you kind of the headings. You can follow along in your bulletin if you want. The first thing I think we need to get straight is that fruit is super. But is a key word in this passage. This fruit list is discontinuous from the actions of the sinful nature that we looked at last week, the paragraph that immediately precedes. There is a break between these two things. Paul didn't say, and the fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. We need to understand there is a break there, and I think that break is huge. The fruit, and it's huge in two different senses, both of which help us to understand this discontinuity of the fruit of the Spirit, that it is indeed supernatural, super organic. It is cut off from our basic nature in two important ways. First, the fruit of the Spirit is other than natural drives, natural motivations. It is different. What does that mean? Well, first, this fruit cannot be produced by sin. Now, this may seem rather obvious in a context of us sitting here in church, reading the scriptures and talking about them. Fruit of the Spirit cannot be produced by sin. Duh. But I think we live as people who tend to think it can, or tend to kind of buy the idea that we find all around us that it can be in continuity with sinful behavior. But it's a deadly deception simply to slap different names on our sinful acts. Let me give you an example. One that I imagine we all have experienced at least once removed in our own lives. You cannot take sexual immorality, what is basically immoral behavior sexually, and slap the label love on it and turn sexual immorality into love. You never can do that. I mean, how many times have you known someone, maybe been that someone? Heck, we've probably mostly all been that someone at one point or another. Been engaged in what you suspected was wrong in terms of your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, as a young person with that jet engine libido in your Volkswagen body. Engaged in something you kind of thought was wrong, but the temptation was, or maybe people have actually done it, you just slap the word, but we love each other. It doesn't work that way. And frankly, in my experience, it never comes out good if that's all you're doing. Now, that is not to say that love cannot come in and characterize and revitalize and renew in the power of God, in the grace of God, in the mercy and forgiveness of God, that very relationship that was full of sexual immorality cannot be one full of love. It is simply to say that love is going to come from somewhere else and not simply growing out of sexual immorality. You see how that works? At some point, love may indeed come in, praise God, but it ain't going to come through that. It's going to come from somewhere else. It'll be something that transcends that and then begins to color that and change that. Drunkenness can't be called joy and then turn it into something good. You know, I mean, drinking makes me happy, and God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? Again, it sounds silly in this context, but isn't that what people tend to do? Well, it's the one thing I've found that really makes me happy. Because you want to say, how happy does it make the people around you? Is this really working? It doesn't work that way, and you can't slap joy on this thing and turn it into something else. Idolatry cannot become, it is not, you can't slap faithfulness on that. And this is one that's very, very central to our culture. Hey, listen, it doesn't really matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you are sincere, as long as you are faithful to your own beliefs. Hey, if it's idolatry, if you're worshiping the wrong God, it doesn't matter how many times you slap the faithfulness label on it. It doesn't work. Discontinuous. The fruit of the Spirit is discontinuous with the deeds of the flesh. You catch that? But we are always tempted to think that they kind of exist in a continuum. Another way of saying this, perhaps, is to say this fruit of the Spirit is not merely the result of dedicated work to improve our basic drives or our sinful nature. We don't improve our naturally selfish desire to possess, for instance, to possess things and possess power, to possess people. This natural selfish desire, which expresses itself quite naturally in things like immoral behavior, witchcraft, discord, jealousy, factions, we don't tone it down to produce peace, or turn it up to produce joy, or redirect it to produce goodness. The fruit of the Spirit comes from somewhere else. As Paul said a few sentences earlier, the sinful nature and the Spirit of God are in conflict with one another. You don't make peace with that which is in conflict with God and then call it God's work. But we're tempted to do that all the time. So this fruit will not be produced by our adherence to the law. You don't add the law and say, oh, I see, I need to improve all of my basic natural instincts. I need to improve my human nature. And the law will help me do that. It doesn't work that way. For example, there's that self-congratulating, self-controlled person who is anything but loving. Very disciplined, but not very nice to be around. They could say, I have the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. But it's not that. People whose underlying hatred or selfish ambition or envy fuels what is actually a hardened indifference toward others, which they can claim is laudable peace or patience. Patience can simply be a mask for indifference. Someone who seems to be very patient with other people may simply be a person who just doesn't give a rip about other people and what they do. Yet, this fruit of the Spirit, which we cannot manufacture by just simply improving ourselves, our natural selves, our organic, broken, sinful, fallen selves. This fruit that cannot be produced by the law, as Paul says, is not against any law. Even laws understand that this is stuff that's good for society, good for people. It just can't be produced by any law. The second sense in which this fruit of the Spirit is discontinuous, it's discontinuous in that it is other than natural drives and natural motivations, and the fruit of the Spirit is independent from natural or personal circumstances. This is important. It's discontinuous with our natural inclinations, sinful deed inclinations. But it's also independent from our circumstances. Thoughts like this crash and burn quickly in the Spirit. You know, the pressure I'm under these days makes patience, kindness, and gentleness an impossibility for me right now. Not. I would be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind if my boss wasn't such a jerk. If my wife would stop criticizing me all the time. If my husband would pay a little more attention to me. If my pastor would preach better sermons. If my congregation didn't doze off every Sunday. If you've got an if there, attached to your circumstances as a prerequisite for you manifesting any of these fruits of the Spirit, you aren't living by the Spirit, and you don't understand the Spirit's fruit. You see, with this fruit of the Spirit thing, the roots go deeper, way deeper than immediate life circumstances. These roots go as deep as roots can go into the living God. We are always able to give others a good taste of our good supernatural fruit, regardless of our immediate situation, whether or not they seem to deserve such a treat, and without regard to how they respond to us. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't come from our human nature. The fruit of the Spirit transforms our human nature. Actually, more to the point, the fruit of the Spirit is the manifestation of the transforming work that God Almighty, through His Holy Spirit, is doing within us. Second point, fruit is fruit. Now, doesn't that sound profound? But is a very important word in this passage, and so is the word is. It's singular. The whole list is the fruit. We can't say we have lots of the self-control fruit, but none of the love fruit. That's just not the way God made me. Doesn't work. By the Spirit, all of these characteristics are going to be growing in us. All of them. It's different than the gifts of the Spirit that you see spoken of and some incomplete lists in various places in the New Testament, where we may have lots of one and not so much of another gift of the Spirit. Teaching, prophecy, healing, mercy. These are special gifts, and you may have a lot of one and hardly any of another. But with the fruit of the Spirit, fruit is, it's singular. All of the characteristics on this list are part of the fruit of the Spirit. This offers a good test as to whether something is truly fruit of the Spirit or just the result of natural personality combined with nice circumstances. A naturally timid person may seem to have much patience, but no observable courageous faithfulness at all, which might indicate that it isn't a fruit of the Spirit that you're seeing, but just their personality. Someone with what seems to be much self-control, as we mentioned earlier, may use their discipline to rise in business while offering no love, no kindness, and no gentleness to anyone who does not benefit them. This self-control probably isn't a fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't sound like someone who's walking in the Spirit if there's no manifestation of any of the other fruits. Then also, fruit corroborates. It's like corroborating testimony. It tells the truth, the deeper truth, the hidden truth about us. This person is loved by God, saved by Jesus, inhabited by the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in their life testifies to that truth. This is a healthy tree. This is a follower of Jesus. This is a born-again child of God. This is a woman living by the Spirit. This is a heaven-bound man of God. The fruit of the Spirit testifies to a mysterious partnership that Paul speaks of in this passage. A partnership, us and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our sinful nature has been and is being crucified, verse 24, by Jesus, his completed work for us. Our sin was crucified with him 2,000 years ago on the cross. Is being crucified by us. As we respond to him today, saying yes to the God we love and no to the sin that would separate us, inspired and empowered by his Spirit of truth and love and life, we are working together, keeping in step with the Spirit, who is always beside us, making God's will our will more and more each day. Verse 25. How can we be assured that this is true for us? Well, first of all, by the Word of God. Everything we've been saying, every Sunday here, but everything we've been saying out of the book of Galatians. Saved by grace through faith, not by works. Saved by the completed work of Jesus, done. Not by how good we are, not even by how good our faith is. For even that is a manifestation of God's goodness and power and love within us. It's happening. God's word says so. Need more help? A little more assurance? God gives us that too. Look for the fruit in your life. The difference your relationship with Jesus has made. There's the corroborating testimony. The fruit of the Spirit corroborates. It brings us assurance. Now, if you're like me, you look at your life and you say, wow, this stuff is hard to see. Fear not. Fruit happens slowly. It's another beautiful aid that we get from this organic analogy. Fruit happens slowly. You see, keeping laws is clean and vast. It lends itself to self-deception. I'm a good person because I don't tell lies. Okay. I'm a good person because I haven't told a lie recently. Okay. And I define recently by not in the last 5 minutes. But I'm a good person. Self-deception. It lends itself to self-deception, this law-keeping way. But at least it's well-defined self-deception. There's the law. Here is me keeping the law right now. Bam! I'm a law keeper. Just saying. Living by the Spirit of God is much messier. Am I walking with the Holy Spirit today? I haven't done anything horrible yet. But have I done enough? Are my motives pure enough? Am I using my gifts and my talents, my time and my energy to bring God glory? Or am I using God's gifts to bring glory to me? How can I be sure? I could always do more. And then you suddenly realize that you are trying to get back under the law again. Because it's so much cleaner. Because it gives us the comfortable hallucination that we are in control of things and we can do enough to save ourselves. And Paul comes along with his Spirit-inspired word to the Galatians and to us. Live in the Spirit of Jesus, because he has done the saving work for you. All of it. This is life lived by the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit-led life. It's much messier, but it's absolutely real. It's messier because we're still fighting with God. We haven't discarded our sinful nature. Not entirely. Jesus has released its deadly grip on us, but we're not letting go. Not yet. Not entirely. It's messier because we're not in control of it. And this is wonderful news. God is in control. He saves. He is getting it done. And he will produce his fruit in us, with us, for us. This life is not about what you or I have or will accomplish for God. It's about what he has accomplished once and for all for us. It's not about how far we've come. It's about where we are going, and God is getting us there. It's like being a tree firmly planted by the streams of waters. A tree that will, simply because it is what it is, yield its fruit in its season. Psalm 1. Now, I will confess to you that as I've looked at this, as I've read on this, as I've studied what others have had to say about this, it has been mostly depressing for me. Coming to terms with the truth that the Spirit of God is supposed to be producing all of these things in me, and not just some of the list, was depressing. Am I truly living by the Spirit of God? Reading the list and looking more carefully at what these things mean, what they don't mean, and what their counterfeits look like. And I've given you this little bulletin insert from Tim Keller, a wonderful little short list of each of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not going to take time to go through them. He does a beautiful job. Look at it. It's powerful. I read this and I wanted to go back to bed and stay there. I felt convicted and inadequate. A lot of counterfeit, man. And then I remembered the little plum tree in our backyard. We have been in our house for almost 15 years. And that tree was in our yard, in our backyard, before we moved in. For more than a decade, we assumed it was one of those flowering plum trees people told us about, the kind that were ornamental but never produced any fruit. Then a few years ago, I saw one. A little round thing on one of the branches. I was amazed. It never amounted to much, but it was definitely a plum. Last summer, there were more. I ate a couple. They were pretty sour, but they tasted kind of plummy. And then this year, bam! The tree was full of little purple fruit. Couldn't keep up with all the plums dropping from the branches. I ate a bunch. We brought a basket full of them here to church to share with people. Maybe some of you got some of them. My daughter-in-law made jars of plum jam. This is how it works with fruit trees. And inspired by God, this is the analogy that the Apostle Paul used to express these things to his friends in the Galatian churches, and now to us. Fruit. It happens slow, but it does happen. It will happen. It is the same with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ask somebody around here if they see this fruit happening in your life. You may be surprised by what you hear. Others may see those early plums you aren't noticing. Get in a small group with other believers. Enjoy and affirm the fruit you see growing in others for whom your encouragement will mean a great deal. It may not be obvious to you or others at the moment, but if you have responded in faith to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have put your trust in Him, if you are giving up on saving yourself and instead are willing to let Him do the saving for you, you are a Spirit of God fruit tree for Him. And the fruit will come. Super organic fruit. Fruit happens. I know a few weeks ago I talked about mud flaps on trucks. Let me go back to that arena and talk about bumper stickers you see occasionally. I don't see as many of them anymore, but the bumper stickers that say, "Stuff happens," only it isn't the word stuff. Okay, so some of you have seen those? Yeah? Yeah. You know, I'm thinking I'd like to take those bumper stickers and take a little razor blade and change all of them. Cut between the SH and the rest of that first word. Cut it and move it over. And then put an FRU in between. So that the bumper stickers would read, "Shh, fruit happens." Every time you see one of those, I want you to think of that. Fruit happens. How does a fruit tree bear fruit? By trying harder than the next tree? By reading, digesting, understanding, and committing itself to rules of fruit treeism? By focusing on its strong branches and shiny leaves? No. By being what it is made to be. No more, no less. sinking its hidden roots deep into fertile soil. If you're a good tree with roots sunk and sinking into the living God, if you are living by the Spirit, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ with the measure of faith you have been given, there will be the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Count on it. Our job, it's really not complicated. It's not about understanding each of these fruits of the Spirit and willing yourself to show everyone. It's much simpler than that and much more difficult than that for us. It is simply a matter of sinking yourself, your roots, if you will, into the living God. Knowing Him more and more. Responding to Him. Cultivating that friendship. Worshiping Him, like on Sunday mornings. That's it. And then just like a little plum tree in somebody's backyard, before you know it, surprise, surprise, out of the blue, that fruit will be dropping from your branches and you won't know where it came from, but there it is. We'll know it. It came from the living God. It came from the Holy Spirit. From one who is, with the measure of faith given, with limping steps all the way, walking, living by the Spirit of God. Our job, sink ourselves into the living God. And next week, we're going to do something a little bit different. The sermon next week is going to be a fairy tale. A little fairy tale I wrote a long time ago called Little Johnny Appletree. That's all about this. I welcome you to come back. In fact, I'm wondering if maybe we should have the children stay in the service next week, since it'll be kind of a fairy tale sort of thing. You can talk to Stephanie and see. But so next week, come prepared to just close your eyes, sit back, and enjoy a fairy tale about the fruit of the Spirit with Little Johnny Appletree. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this chance to be together, to hear about you and your word, to hear about the fruit of the Spirit that will characterize our lives as we simply know you, trust in you, with the limited abilities that we have, but the unlimited power that you make available to us. Cooperating with you as you save us, as you transform us. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here that isn't sure about these things, isn't sure about you as Lord and Savior, isn't sure about their relationship with you, isn't sure about the fruit that is or isn't seeming to manifest itself in their life, Lord, I pray that they would have courage, led by your Spirit, empowered by your Spirit, with doors flung open by your Spirit, to find someone to talk to. Maybe me. Maybe somebody else around here. Maybe a friend. Lord, that you might help to assure them of who you are for them, of the work that you've done, dying on the cross to save us, that has been done for us. Lord, about your character, so good and loving, the Heavenly Father who loves his children and welcomes them home. Lord, to know about your goodness and your grace and your truth. And so to respond to you with faith, to open empty hands to say, yes, Lord, be my Lord and Savior. Do your work in me and for me. And then to understand that the life with you has begun and you will see it to completion as you have promised. Lord, again, we thank you for today and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.